How grateful we can be to the Lord for all the love we have already received from Him, for the great privilege of being able to believe, as the Scripture says, not half-heartedly, but wholeheartedly. I think we will have a brief reflection on the Word, perhaps a few thoughts on Proverbs 4, since that is where we began. This is about the path that must be walked, which shines brightly, as it is written. Proverbs 4, verse 18, a very well-known word, familiar to us all. But the path of the just is as the shining light that shineth more and more unto the perfect day. What a wonderful scripture! The path of the just. Those justified and pardoned by God is like the light of dawn, which shines brighter and brighter. And also the thoughts in verse 23, yes, even 22, one could read it all again. For they are life unto those that find them, that is, the words of God, and health to all their flesh. And then the admonition, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. How can we guard it? God must give us grace to do so. Yes, God will give us grace to do so. Not to let anything into our hearts that could cause harm and destruction. But, as the scripture says, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. May God grant us and preserve for us a pure heart by His grace. A heart that believes and loves. A heart full of the most holy shoots, full of faith and love. A heart that honors God in faith, as the song goes. Then it goes on here, put away from thee a froward mouth, and perverse lips put far from thee. Let thine eyes look right on, and let thine eyelids look straight before thee. Ponder the path of thy feet, and let all thy ways be established. May God grant us this. May He show us this straight path, this path without stumbling, this path that we can walk with Him, this straight, leveled path. May He grant it to you, to me, and to all of us. Then it says, turn not to the right hand, nor to the left. Remove thy foot from evil. May God grant us grace in this too. Let us move on to the prophet Isaiah 57, a wonderful passage that follows on from this theme, Isaiah 57, from verse 14. Isaiah 57, from verse 14. And the Lord shall say, cast ye up, prepare the way, take up the stumbling block out of the way of my people. For thus saith the High and Lofty One, that inhabiteth eternity, whose name is holy. I dwell in the high and holy place, with him also that is of a contrite and humble spirit, to receive the spirit of the humble and to revive the heart of the contrite ones. May the Lord grant this to each and every one of us today, at this hour. He knows what we need, and He is able to give and to do, to revive the spirit of the humble and to revive the heart of the contrite ones. Verse 16, for I will not contend forever, neither will I be always wroth, for the spirit should fail before me, and the souls which I have made. For the iniquity of his covetousness was I wroth, and smote him. I hid me, and was wroth, and he went on frowardly in the way of his heart. These words touched me deeply. God became angry with his people when they followed their own chosen path. God showed his people a way and paved the way for them. Only on this divine path, in faith and obedience, can God's blessing rest upon us. Even if God's children walk their own paths, they cannot count on God's blessing. Only on God's path will the Lord be able to bestow His full blessing upon us. It says here, they were rebellious and walked their own chosen paths. But God, in His grace, intervened even then. And that is the beautiful thing. I'm not one of those who want to cause people to be in uncertainty. I prefer to be one of those who want to ensure that with God's help we come out of uncertainty and enter into certainty. I dare say that the time of self-chosen paths has come to an end for us. From the moment we recognized God's path for this time by God's grace and willingly set our feet on this path of peace, and we are allowed to walk on this pathway. Can you say amen to this? That is so. But in the Word, both the previous state and the subsequent state are described to us. Let no one be troubled by the enemy and say, wait a minute, are you now walking in your own way or are you walking in God's way? As surely as God has brought us out of all our own ways, denominations, churches, and ideas, and as surely as He has revealed to us what this time is all about, and as surely as He has shown us this path by grace, so surely may we walk it. It is not your way or my way. It is God's way, with His people, according to His word, in this time. I only hope that this penetrates deeply and becomes a blessed revelation in our hearts. For it can sometimes be that the enemy, with all his cunning and deceit, takes precious scriptures and causes God's children to be troubled. The time of our own ways came to an end the moment we set foot on God's path, and we will be allowed to walk this path to the end by His grace. In Isaiah 57, verses 19 to 21, here it says, perhaps we should also read verse 18, I have seen His ways and will heal him. I will lead him also and restore comforts unto him and to his mourners. I create the fruit of the lips, peace, peace to him that is far off, and to him that is near, saith the Lord, and I will heal him. This is what God wanted, and this is what He did. Peace to those far off, and peace to those who are near. To this I would like to read from Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2, a wonderful parallel that Paul has shown here from the Old Testament to the New Testament. Ephesians chapter 2 from verse 13. But now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. Do you see? The prophet Isaiah said, peace to those who are far off and peace to those who are near. Here we have the confirmation in the New Testament. I will read verse 13 again. But now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. For He is our peace, who has made both one and has broken down the middle wall of partition between us, having abolished in His flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for to make in himself of twain one new man, so making peace. And listen to what comes next in the next two or three verses. And that he might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby, and came and preached peace to you which were afar off, and to them that were nigh. For me, it is always very special when I find the same thing in the Old and New Testament. There the announcement, and here the realization. Then my heart rejoices. For me, this means a great deal. It means everything. We have proof in the New Testament that all the predictions of the Old Testament have been fulfilled. Peace to those who were near. That was the people of Israel. Peace to those who were far off was all peoples, tongues, and nations. In Christ, all who would accept grace and salvation were united. Those far off and those near have been transformed into a new person, a peacemaker. A songwriter writes, "When peace like a river attendeth my way." When I read the words, "Good news here," it's written in verse 17, "And came and preached peace to you which were afar off, and to them that were nigh." This word has taken on a whole new meaning for me in the last few moments or hours at the hotel in Manila. I'm in the lift, and there are Americans with me in the same lift, and they have been chatting casually with each other, but the word revival came up. And because the word revival came up, I automatically had to follow up and asked, "Did you mean it as a joke, or did you really mean revival that God is supposed to give?" And one of them said, "We really mean a revival that God is supposed to give. We are from the USA and are missionaries in the Philippines." I said, "Then you are the right people to talk to, the ones I've been waiting for." And that's how it turned out. We went up and down in the lift a few times and talked to each other. You can do that too. Time passes in the lift as well. But then we realized that we had to get out of the lift and talk to each other. To make a long story short, one of them asked me about Brother Branham. We talked briefly and mentioned a few evangelists. I am very tactful in that regard, especially with Americans. I say, "Listen, I've been to meetings, and there were quite a few evangelists among them, so and so. And William Branham was there too." I always want to be tactful with people. Well, William Branham, when that name came up, he said, "Listen, I need to talk to you." I said, "That's why I'm here." And then it came. He said, "My father was in Phoenix, Arizona, at William Branham's meetings, and told us about what God was doing in the meetings. I had never seen him, never heard of him. That's what he told me. But I've read his life story, and I would like to know more about it." I said, "With pleasure." He gave me his answer. Then there was another conversation in which several more people participated. And now comes the point that touched me deeply and moved me. I said to these brothers, "Listen, William Branham was not only a man through whom God did great signs and wonders. He was a man with a divine message for this time." And when I said that, I couldn't help but think of the 11th of June, 1933, when the voice from that light, from the cloud of light, said, "As John the Baptist was sent to forerun the first coming of Christ, so you will be sent with a message to forerun the second coming of Christ." And as I uttered these words, a deep sorrow came over me, a very deep sorrow. And I asked myself, where is this message that is to forerun the second coming of Christ? What has become of it, and what has been done with it? And then the additional question came, what about all the Branhamites who went in different directions? That was the final stab in the back that I needed. When I went back to my room and knelt before the Lord, I began to weep bitterly and said, Lord, you sent your servant and prophet. He shared your word with us. What has become of it all? All I could say was, Lord, take care of me. Take care of us. Take care of your cause once again in your mercy and help us. That we may not only say God has sent someone and there is a message, but that we may say very specifically, this is the divine message that we must bring and that must be believed in order to set everything right before the Lord can return to take his own home. Somehow it comforted me that I had probably already mentioned most of the points in my future book to show what God is already concerned with at this time. Not just to be enthusiastic about a man or to talk about him, but to actually know through divine revelation, God has promised this, and he is now doing it according to his word, and everything he foretold is now coming to pass. You know, there are times in life when you have to go through certain things and it does you good. It is like a cleansing process. It leads us deeper into God's work, makes us even more dependent on God than we already are. And we realize that we can do absolutely nothing on our own, but that God can do everything. It did me good. I don't just want to be able to say, God has sent a message that must forerun the second coming of Christ. I want to carry this message. I want to ensure that God's people are indeed informed about the things that need to be straightened out, balanced, remedied. Yes, everything that needs to be and will be brought back into the right state. We believe that the Lord will help us in this. We are all only human, but he is God, and he sits on the throne, and he will bring everything to a glorious and wonderful end. From the prophet Isaiah, chapter 26, I would also like to read briefly about the path of the Lord. Here it says in Isaiah 26 from verse 7, the way of the just is uprightness. Thou, most upright, dost weigh the path of the just. Yea, in the way of thy judgments, O Lord, have we waited for thee. The desire of our soul is to thy name and to the remembrance of thee. Do we not find expressed here what moves us and what we ourselves carry within us? We carry a desire in our hearts for your name, for your praise, for your name to be honored, hallowed and glorified. It continues, with my soul have I desired thee in the night. Yea, with my spirit within me will I seek thee early. For when thy judgments are in the earth, the inhabitants of the world will learn righteousness. But unless God draws them, unless he speaks to them, unless he helps them, they will not come. At the moment, we do not see the judgment so much At the moment we see how the united Europe is approaching its climax in all three stages. And based on Bible prophecy, we can truly say we have reached the end of days. Time is coming to a head. It is rushing. And we may lift up our heads because we know that our redemption is drawing near. Believe me, we are, and I say this without arrogance, the best informed people on earth. Through the revelation of the prophetic word, indeed through the prophetic ministry, we have gained such a deep insight into the events of the end times that is unparalleled on earth. You need to talk to other people from time to time to find out where their thoughts are wandering without them knowing what is really going on right now. God has a way with His people, and we want to walk on this path. We pay attention to everything else in order to recognize how late it is on the world clock and how close the coming of our beloved Lord is. I would like to quickly read two or three scriptures from 2 Timothy chapter 1. It is not only important to me that we hear these things, but that they become a certainty for us, that the last doubt is removed, and that our faith is alive and anchored in the Word, so that nothing can sway us to and fro. I will read a very well-known scripture from 1 Timothy chapter 1, verses 12 to 14, but I would like to contrast it with another scripture, or rather let another scripture follow. 2 Timothy chapter 1 from verse 12. For the which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed. And now comes the statement. For I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. Then comes the point. Hold fast the form of sound words which thou hast heard of me in faith and love which is in Christ Jesus. That good thing which was committed unto thee, keep by the Holy Ghost which dwelleth in us. This is very important. You know that every revelation that comes from God comes through the Holy Spirit. It is given to us by God, but it must remain in us through the Holy Spirit, be preserved, remain in us as divine revelation, and then be sealed. I must speak urgently once again about sealing, because I have the impression that some do not understand it. But let me say this in advance or beforehand. It is content that is sealed. It is a document that is sealed. It is not air or ideas that are sealed. When a seal is applied somewhere, there must be something precious, a contract, whatever it may be. Something must be there before it would make sense to apply a seal. Ideas and air are certainly not sealed. nor are the feelings that a person may have. There must be more than that. But we'll talk about that later. God seals what He Himself has placed within us through the revelation of the Spirit, with the seal of the Spirit. Not what people say, but what has been revealed to us from the Word, through the Spirit. That good thing which was committed unto thee, keep by the Holy Ghost which dwelleth in us. I would like to contrast two thoughts. Here is the first, spoken in the singular, for I know who it is. Now I would like to read from 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3. Verse 14, 2 Timothy 3, verse 14. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them.
Du weißt ja, von welchen Lehren du es gelernt hast.
Not only could Paul say, I know, but he writes to Timothy, his co-worker, his fellow soldier in Christ, you know of whom thou hast learned it. God has placed apostles, prophets, shepherds, teachers, and evangelists in the church. A teaching that comes from God is certain, and it becomes certain not only to the one who has to present it. It is revealed to all in exactly the same way through the Holy Spirit. Not only does the one who explains and brings it have certainty, but the listeners have the same certainty through the Holy Spirit. I truly believe, dear brothers and sisters, that I believe exactly as Paul and Brother Brennan believed and taught, and I think I can say the same about all of us. We do not dance around the golden calf and say, these were men of God. The Lord spoke to them. He revealed this to them, and then perhaps be a little happy about it. No, we see it quite differently. What God revealed and entrusted to these men, they communicated to us. It was their task, their divine commission was to pass on to us what they had received from God, and the same Holy Spirit who revealed it to them has revealed it to us by grace. I truly believe that I see the Godhead, baptism, everything in the Bible exactly as it has been handed down to us in the Bible by men of God who had to explain things through the revelation of the Spirit 100%. It is the same language, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one way, one truth, one life, all one, because it comes from the one God. And there is only one body, and that one body is the body of Christ, and that one body has only one head, and that head is Jesus Christ Himself. I mean, sometimes it is appropriate to be humble, but when we have received it from God, then we may rejoice over it. We may be thankful for it, and not just go along and say, oh yes, but become thankful, not arrogant, but thankful. God wants people who are thankful for what He has done for them. Thankful for what He has been able to give them. Paul said, I know. And he wrote to Timothy, "You know." It is the same for us today. Not only did individual men of God know, but we also know. Not only did they recognize, but we have also recognized. Not only did they believe, but we also believe, as the scriptures have said. I am happy to repeat myself on this point. God had mouthpieces, but not so that we would cheer these men of God. That is not their purpose, but rather that we may hear God's word from their mouths and become grateful. I would like to read another scripture from the Gospel of John. Pardon me, which shows me, or shows all of us, exactly what matters to those who are sent by God. From the Gospel of John, chapter 7. Gospel of John, chapter 7, from verse 14, a very important word. Now, about the midst of the feast, Jesus went up into the temple and taught. And the Jews marveled, saying, "How knoweth this man letters, having never learned?" Jesus answered them and said, "My doctrine is not mine, but his that sent me. If any man will do his will, he shall know of the doctrine, whether it be of God, or whether I speak of myself." Let us pause here for a moment. The same applies in our time. A divine doctrine and proclamation is only received and believed by those who are willing to do the will of God, who do not come merely to hear something they can criticize, but who come with a sincere heart to hear the word, to hear the true teaching. And as we are told here, our Lord says, "My doctrine is not mine, but his who sent me." Paul could say the same thing. Paul once wrote, "The gospel of Christ, then the gospel of God." And then he says, "According to my gospel, as I teach in all the churches." The gospel of God is the gospel of Jesus Christ, and the gospel of Jesus Christ is the gospel of all the apostles. It is our gospel, one and the same gospel. And that is why God has made it so, that everything exists in this complete unanimity. Very important, verse 17. If any man will do his will, then yes. But if he is not willing to do the will of God, what then? Then it will not be revealed. Then someone could rise from the dead and bring a divine message, but no one would believe it. Only when a person is willing to be corrected, to turn away from his own ways, to walk on God's way, to let the uneven be made even and the crooked be made straight, as it is written. Only when people are wholeheartedly willing to do God's will they know whether a man has been sent by God. Then they will know whether he has been sent by God to teach and to say what needs to be said. I will read it again. If any man will do his will, he shall know of the doctrine, whether it be of God, or whether I speak of myself. Here one could really ask the question, all the great evangelists in the United States who owe their ministry to Brother Branham's divine calling, why did they go their own ways? The greatest among them asked Brother Branham if he could lay his hands on him. He wanted to pray for Brother Branham that he would not preach the things that people did not like, but would say something pleasant to them all. And you know Brother Branham's answer. He said, "Brother, if you allow me to lay hands on you and pray for you, that God will help you and give you grace, then you can lay hands on me too." What was it? Great men, but not willing to do the will of God. Oh, they sing his praises. A great man of God. No one could compare to him. And why don't they believe what he taught? Because they are not willing to do the will of God. It would cost them too much. Their reputation, their name, their millions, and so on. They are not willing to make a sacrifice. Beloved, we can consider ourselves fortunate in this respect. God has shaped our hearts. He has made us willing to do His will. And that is why He has revealed it to us. Dear heart, what matters is to give up all inner resistance completely and say, "Lord, speak, I am listening, and I am ready to do what you tell me." I will finish reading the verse, and then verse 18. Whether this doctrine be of God, or whether I speak of myself. Now it comes. He that speaketh of himself seeketh his own glory, but he that seeketh his glory that sent him, the same is true, and no unrighteousness is in him. He who is sent by God does not speak of himself, does not present his program, his teaching, his beliefs, but speaks in the name of the Lord what God has commanded and brings what must be presented to the people of God without attributing even the slightest thing to himself. Let us summarize. God has people on earth who are destined to be with him forever. People for whom Christ died on Calvary, for whom the blood of atonement and redemption was shed, people who believe as the scripture says, who come to the Lord, leave their own ways, and walk in the way of the Lord. According to the scripture, let man leave his way and follow the Lord. Isaiah 55. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. God wants us to think his thoughts, walk in his ways, so that we may reach the goal with him in his name. May God grant that this clear proclamation as a biblical message reaches all peoples, tongues and nations like the mighty sound of a trumpet. It will happen. Do not worry about it. Our Lord has already said so. The gospel of the kingdom. What does gospel mean? Good news. But not just good news in the common sense. Many things can be good news. If someone wins the lottery and tells someone else, that person will also think it is good news. This is about something completely different. It is about a message of salvation, the good news that comes from God. And the good news that comes from God is a message of salvation. And this divine message of salvation, this gospel of Jesus Christ, this full gospel, we are allowed to bring to all peoples, tongues and nations by grace. The end cannot come before that. It is near, but not yet here. First, the task must be done, and then the Lord will come again to bring home His own, whom He has been able to call out from all peoples, tongues and nations, whom He has been able to prepare from all over the world. The singers have sung it to us. They come from the east and west. They come from the south and north. God will do it. I have only one request. Remember me, that I may be found in God's will, that everything that happens may truly be according to His perfect will. I want to do His will. May God reveal it to me. May He show it to me. I am ready to do from my heart what He wants me to do. To Him, the living God, be thanks, praise, glory and worship for everything. In Jesus' name, amen. Let us stand and give thanks to the Lord together. Faithful Lord, You are present. I thank You for that. You have spoken to us. Even though I stand here physically weak, Your word is divine power. Hallelujah. Faithful Lord, You have made those who were far off near to You. People who are allowed to be close to You, O God, to be in You and You in them. Beloved Lord, we have received You and Your word with all our hearts and with all our souls. And if we could, we would fall at Your feet, weep, and let our tears flow freely to thank You. Beloved Lord, we thank You deeply for the love You have revealed to us, which You have shown us through Your suffering and death. For it is not through anything else, but through Your death on the cross, that those who were far off have become near. For God was in Christ, reconciling the world to Himself. Beloved Lord, You are our God. We also thank You for showing us Your way, this divine path, which shines ever brighter, until the full light of day breaks and the sun of righteousness shines. We praise You and we worship You. Beloved Lord, You have given us a heart that is ready to do Your will, to accept and receive Your teaching. Lord, You can speak to us. We want to hear You. We want to listen to You. Hallelujah. Praise, honor and glory be to You, the living God, the God of Abraham, Isaac and Jacob. Truly, You are not a God of the dead, but of the living. We are gathered here before you to give you thanks. All who have raised their hands, we now consecrate to you, faithful Lord. You know their needs. You know what is going on inside them, O Lord, whether in body, soul, or spirit. Lord, you have become everything to us. Do them good according to your mercy, according to your promise. Now we have a prayer request to you, Lord Almighty God. May you not only reach all peoples, tongues, and nations, may you also penetrate all denominations, all religions. May you bring about such an invasion as has never been seen on earth before, my God. Before the door of grace closes forever, before God's judgments come upon the earth, beloved Lord, open all these spiritual prisons. My God, we ask you to do something that has never been done on earth before. May you shake heaven and earth. You will do it, for you have promised it. You said, in those days, I will not only shake the earth, but heaven and earth. Hallelujah. We are living in those days. You have given us your divine message, a divine message of salvation, a teaching. We thank you for this. We are ready to do your will. Show it to us and help us so that it does not remain only our desire, but ends in accomplishment. I thank you, the Almighty God, for all the many brothers, especially in the Philippines, beloved Lord, also for the more than 20 brothers who minister with a word, whom you have brought back, O Lord, to whom you have given grace, beloved Savior. May you have mercy on everything, wherever there are people, in all peoples, tongues, and nations, all ethnic groups. I also thank you for this service this afternoon, which was conducted in simplicity and yet expressed wonderful thoughts. Praise and glory be to you, Lord Almighty God, in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.